The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
The schools are all on holiday, but still there are stories knocking around about schools and teachers. The latest one this morning suggests that schools are struggling to fill their teacher quota because in the capital and in other cities around the country, rents are too high. People are finding it impossible to either buy a house or rent a house on the salaries that teachers are offered. And the second thing is a recent report which suggested that the pressure on principals and deputy principals is absolutely immense and many are suffering from burnout. We're joined now by Paul Crone, Director of the National Association of Principals and Deputy Principals. Hey, good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Pat.
Let's talk about that report on burnout, first of all. Two in three principals are experiencing burnout due to stress and 40% requiring prescription medication.
Well, this is the preliminary results from our 2022 survey, which is a follow-on from our 2014-2015 survey, where anecdotally we would have spoken to principals going around the country, and they would have reported that they are the workload is excessive, it's unsustainable. We noted that the number of people applying for the job of principal is lower than we would like, and we thought we needed empirical data in order to confirm that. So this survey gives us that. The survey, we only have the initial results, the preliminary results. The final report should be out with us in August, at which stage we'll be able to sit down. But it's very concerning for us. And it's important that principals take their holidays during July. It's important that they know that they're heard. And it's important that they know that we intend to initiate discussions to try and address this issue.
Now, let's talk about the different kinds of principals. I mean, there are teaching principals and there are non-teaching principals. Are we talking about both or one particular?
No, we're talking about post-primary. We're talking about post-primary. And we have partnered with the Irish Primary Principals Network to conduct this survey. However, we've extracted the data for post-primary. So in post-primary, there are no
teaching principals.
These are all non-teaching principals.
Okay, now, therefore, you must be looking at the reasons for the burnout, given that effectively a principal is an administrator, not an active teacher. So what is it about running a school that makes it more prone to burning out a principal than, say, an office manager in a tech company?
Well, it's very interesting. The role of principal is described in a document called Looking at Our Schools, which was written by the inspectorate, which gives a very good indication of the responsibilities and requirements, of which one of the four pillars is managing the organisation. But when you apply for a job as a principal, your interview is around leading learning, about developing people, about creating the learning environment. Yet when you get there, you find that it's a very, very different job. Now, when we think of a school, we think of a student-centered place. We think of a place where students are fostered, they're encouraged, helped to do their best. However, in the modern environment, a school is also an organization. And I was a principal of a 1,000-pupil school with approximately 100 teachers before I came into this. So an organization of that size, be it a medium enterprise, would have a finance manager, they would have a human resource manager, they would have a plant manager. I managed a building 8,000 square meters on a site approximately 6 acres. And if we look on a school as an organization, the principal has the responsibility for all of those things. So these impact on the principal's time, taking them away from what we would call the core business of the school, which is teaching and learning. And that those excessive requirements of compliance, procurement, all of those which are impacting on the principal are impacting negatively on the principal.
You're making a very good case for teachers not becoming principals, that rather you bring in trained managers, trained administrators who wouldn't find this challenging because it's their meat and drink. That's what they do professionally. Whereas teachers teach professionally and then they're asked to do this administrative job for which they have no training.
Well, if you extend the full name, it's the principal teacher. And it's
no, but if you're not teaching, that's a bit of a stretch. You're not a principal teacher anymore. You're the principal who does not teach.
But you're the leader of learning. You're the leader of people. And you're the one that sets the tone for the quality of learning and learning environment.
But you
what
can't
we
fire
would
a teacher,
argue
for
is,
example, Paul. I mean, you may be the leader of learning, but if you're getting complaints from parents that some teacher is not delivering the goods, there's nothing you can do about it. So you're not really
not
the leader of
true.
Learning. You're the leader of a bunch of teachers, some of whom are brilliant and some of whom may be incompetent, and there is absolutely nothing you could do about it. Not
no,
that, by the way,
there,
a professional
there's
administrator
lots.
Could do anything about it either, because the department
no,
is the boss in this regard.
Well, we would argue that the principal is the principal teacher, and there is a need for an administrative support, somebody to do those administrative jobs. And that would create more time for the principal to focus on developing leadership capacity, mentoring maybe teachers who are underperforming, but the vast majority of teachers are excellent, and I have to say that at the outset.
Sure.
But there are procedures. Yes, it takes a long time, and maybe it's something that should and could be looked at.
Have you ever heard of a teacher being removed for not being a good teacher? Now, you know, some with alcohol problems or other problems might be removed, or bad behavior, inappropriate behavior, they might be removed. But for not being able to actually do the job of teacher, have you ever heard of anyone being removed for that?
Off the top of my head, I would think the answer to that is probably yes. But the more important point, and I've been involved in working and coaching and mentoring a number of principals who have been coaching and mentoring underperforming teachers, and the vast majority of them improve with the support and come up to what would be a very good level. That would be my experience more so than we come to the fire.
But you are making the case, if that's what you'd like the job to be mentoring your teachers and making sure that the quality of learning is very, very good, and being, if you like, the court of appeal for students who are unhappy with the quality of their learning or their teaching and so on, you're making the great case for having someone separate who's the school manager, and who doesn't get near the classroom, but is involved in making sure the heat, the light, the ventilation, the land is manicured appropriately, the security in the school is A-OK. If there are school meals to be organised, that manager would be in charge of all of those. You know, in other words, an administrator who's not concerned about the quality of learning, but is more concerned about the quality of the school environment. So a separate person who is not a teacher and therefore doesn't have concerns about geography or honours English or whatever.
And that would be where we were going. And that is the experience in other jurisdictions that have used that as a model to allow the principal to focus on the teaching and the learning. I mean, there are four pillars in that looking at our school. Developing leadership capacity is one of them. Leading school development is another. Leading teaching and learning is another. Those three pillars are being eclipsed by the managing the organisation. So yes, we're looking for support.
That would be a change of culture, I suppose, and there would be some who would be reluctant to relinquish some of those powers and responsibilities that they have. But it does seem like a logical way forward. Now, Paul, the other story, it's in today's papers about schools struggling to find teachers because of the inaffordability of accommodation in the capital particularly, but also in Cork City. Rents are too high, mortgages are not affordable. If you're paying rent, you can't work up a deposit anyway, and no single person can actually get a mortgage these days. It needs at least two people to put together to afford a mortgage. Are you finding it a struggle to find teachers who can work in the capital?
Well, this is something I'm hearing more and more of recently. Now, it's not a new issue. I was appointed principal in 2008, and it was an issue then too. And I suppose it ebbs and flows. But one of the top three causes of stressors for principal is teacher shortages. And we all know that's been well documented. There has been a shortage of teachers, and particularly in some subjects. But
just to clarify, Paul, if you had a school manager, that wouldn't be that school manager's concern. It would be your concern as the leading teacher to make sure that the number of teachers was appropriate to the demand. So that's something that would always remain with the principal.
Well, the principal would have responsibility for the recruitment of the best quality teachers in the school. I suppose the administrator would do the administration part of that, the contract,
sure,
the human resource element of all that. But yes, the principal would be responsible for recruiting the best quality teachers for their school.
So,
matching subjects with timetables.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know how this could be resolved, and I don't know how it's done in other jurisdictions. For example, in the London area, accommodation is very expensive there. Salaries are not particularly higher than they are here. Tax rates are, of course, lower in the United Kingdom. But do you know typically where a teacher in an East End school or a West End school in London would find accommodation? Would they be commuting, you know, long distances by train every day, or would they find accommodation maybe provided by the council?
To be honest, in London, I don't know, but I do know in Dublin that a lot of teachers are living and commuting from the commuter belt into the city because of the difficulty in finding accommodation in the city. Also, a number of newly qualified teachers, maybe friends that they were in college with, are coming together to maybe six, seven, eight of them to rent a house, and that works well for a year or two until they start to find their own path and want to go their own way, and that creates a difficulty where the communal living works by, I suppose, a short extension of college circumstances.
Yeah.
But then Dublin schools find they're losing teachers who maybe want to go back home, who maybe are at a stage where they want to purchase a house, and they do purchase a house in the commuter belt, and it lasts a couple of years, and
yeah,
then they realise that they can get a job much closer to home and the commute. So it is an issue. It's one that does need to be addressed, and it is one that I know I've had loads of conversations with principals to say, look, take your holidays. It's important that you're refreshed. And we look at recruiting again,
yeah,
in August, and hopefully there will be no
yeah,
teachers.
But on the horizon is that perhaps, and it's again reported that some schools may have to consider dropping some of the optional subjects, not the core subjects obviously required for the Leaving Cert, but some optional subjects simply because they can't find teachers.
That would be a last resort. Now, there are a number of temporary measures that have been put in place. For example, the Teaching Council registration for trainee teachers to allow them to fill some of the gaps, to allow teachers who are job sharing to temporarily take other hours, teachers who are on career break to maybe take a couple of hours. So you that would be a very last resort, particularly as you're committed to some subjects. For example, if you start in fifth year with a chemistry class, that class has to continue on at the sixth year.
Mm.
So by hook or by crook, you need to make sure that those students get the best preparation for their exams. So there are kind of other things that principals are looking at to creatively resolve, including maybe looking through teachers' qualifications. Maybe somebody had a particular subject in first year, and it involves the redrafting of timetables and all that. I mean, it's a hugely complex
yeah.
process.
Finally, Paul, would you be in favour of a Dublin allowance for teachers, you know, that all teachers who live in the urban area would get? And now there are obviously issues here, because if you've bought your house years ago and you're paying a very low mortgage, people would say, why are you getting an allowance? You don't have a problem. But young teachers who don't yet have, you know, got to purchase their permanent residence might desperately need an accommodation allowance. Would you be in favour of it? And would it have to go to everyone, even those who didn't need it?
That's something that an awful lot of Dublin principals have brought up with me, that something needs to be done. And the question of, is it a working in Dublin allowance? Is it a living in Dublin? Is it a working and living in Dublin? There certainly are issues, but I certainly would be in favour of considering it and as one of the measures to resolve the Dublin issue.
One question from a listener, and I should have asked her myself, I suppose. What's the vice principal for? If the principals are burning out, the deputy principal or vice principal should be able to give a dig out.
And they do, and deputy principals are part of this survey as well. So deputy principals are burning out as well. And it's not just the principal. Now, we have to remember that a lot of smaller schools don't have a full-time mm-hmm. deputy principal, and they have a teaching responsibilities as well. But it's not just the principal, it's the principal and the deputy. While ultimately the principal has the overall responsibility, the principal, I suppose, tries to create the impression that they're the swan gliding across, but the deputy is doing an awful lot.
Okay, one final comment from a listener. Many principals are dangerously underqualified for the job they're being asked to do, and the burnout comes from imposter syndrome, you know, having to pretend they know how to do everything when they've no training to do much of it.
I would completely disagree with that. As soon as first of all, a principal has to be an experienced teacher, and the majority of people who apply for principals now have done a postgraduate qualification in school leadership. As soon as they're appointed, there is training and there's support through the Centre for School Leadership. Every new principal and deputy is mentored, and there's coaching available. There's continuous professional development available through NAPD, through CSL, and through the management bodies to support principals. We've professional collaborative networks through 9 regions throughout the country. So I would completely reject that comment.
Paul, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Paul Crone, who's director of the National Association of Principals and Deputy Principals.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.